What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for everyday injuries, whether it be sports, work, or just walking down the street. OrthoSensi can help you out. OrthoCINCY.com to learn more. I am your host, Double T, Travis there. Got a great show lined up for you this evening. We're going to be talking a lot of East Central Athletics. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the girls basketball team. We do have Coach Moore on the line to talk about the season and how they've done so far, and some other things pertaining to the Lady Trojans. But there's also some big things going on at East Central this week pertaining to a big football game that's going to happen on a Saturday. So we're going to welcome in Coach Moore prompt as always. We're glad that you can join us on the show. Even though it's over the phone, we understand you're a busy man.
Hey, I appreciate the flexibility, man. It's been a busy day, a good day, but a busy day. So I appreciate the invite on the phone here.
Yeah, absolutely. Always love catching up with you. And I kind of want to start with the football team out there at East Central. Everybody's been following along with what they've been doing all season long, basically just mowing teams over. And one more game to go to become back-to-back state champions. That would be the first time in program history that that would happen, and seeking the fourth state title in school history as well. So what's the vibe been like there at school over the past couple weeks as this team's inching closer and closer to history?
No, it's been a lot of excitement and just a lot of pride for what those kids and that coaching staff is able to do. You know, with the high expectations coming in as the returning state champ, and you know, it was pretty clear from day one, Coach Miners, his kids, the staff, that repeating was the only goal, and here we are with the opportunity to do that. So it's a testament to the kids that especially the seniors. You know, it's easy to get caught up in all the limelight and the media attention, all the positive things that people say about you, but then they continue to go out and do the work that has put them in the position to go back to back. So with somebody who has young kids, it's a great example of what hard work and opportunity can give you.
Sure, and looking at that game this past Friday against New Pal, I've been asking the question all year, is can anybody challenge this Trojans football team? And thought maybe New Pal would be a little bit more of a challenger, but 49-0, and that one was, never in question. It's just unfathomable of what they've been able to accomplish and how they are doing it. So do you foresee more of the same coming up on Saturday?
Well, I'm not on that football staff, but I know those guys are watching film and preparing those kids, and they don't take anybody lightly. And anybody that's on the north side as a semi-state champ, you have to obviously respect the ability to get to the state. So I think they're confident and riding up to the meeting today with Coach Myers. We had a good talk there and back, and you know, he's got a very good perspective of things and how to manage the kids. And this is not your ideal week with it, you know, only being a 2-day school week and trying to run practice, and you got Thanksgiving in there and trying to go up there and practice. So it's having experience of doing that. It will certainly be an advantage to our kids.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We'll have the call on Saturday. We'll talk more about that at the end of the show. We're going to spend, hopefully 10, 15 minutes with Coach talking about the Lady Trojans and the basketball season. Now, we will transition to the hardwood. You're coming off 15-11 season last year. It was a great four-year stretch with that group of seniors. That was a special group that accomplished quite a bit. Haven't maybe really got a chance to talk about that group so much on Eagle Country 99.3. So just kind of put that last 4 years into perspective, what that group was able to accomplish, particularly that senior group.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So, you know, we've always really had a lot of regular season success, and that dates back to when we had Alan McCool and Brooke Packer, and then it transitioned to some other, groups. So, last 10, 11 years, we've won a lot of games. You know, we've won 15, 16, 17 games for 11 straight years, but we had never really gotten over that hump. And, with Josie Trable and Lainey Baker and Julia Tima kind of leading that group, along with the group before them, Hope Fox and kids of that nature, and Kyla Maxwell. We were more perimeter-based, and I think to win at a high level, especially in the postseason, you've got to have really good guards, really good perimeter players that, have high basketball IQ. And that's really what separated that group from maybe some of our previous groups is, they were highly competitive and highly skilled, but they were very high basketball IQ kids. So, not having to call a set every time down the floor, or just them being able to read and react to what the defense is doing and read and react to what we can do defensively. That was what made coaching that group really, really enjoyable. Not to say that I didn't have to coach a lot, but having them being able to have that high basketball IQ, it allowed us to do a lot more with them.
And some of those names that you mentioned, they're now on to the college ranks. Hope's playing quite a bit as a sophomore up in the Northeast. Looks like she's off to a good start this season. Josie's getting some minutes as a freshman at Marion. Laney at Thomas More University. You had a chance to catch up with them at all or keep tabs on what they're doing at the college level?
Yeah. Hope and Laney more so than Joe, but Hope had an opportunity to play against UConn a couple weeks ago, which was a really cool moment for her. And she was on the senior all-star team with the Patterson girl from Homestead that was at UConn. So that was kind of a cool moment for her. Mm-hmm. And like you said, she's really worked her way into the rotation. She worked extremely hard this summer on our gun here at the school. And just, you know, we have a saying, work wins, and that kid works a lot and works really hard. So it won't surprise me that, you know, she has a really good college career. Laney's battled some injuries in the offseason, but, you know, her work ethic, you know, she was just in here on Saturday shooting here at school from, you know, 2-3 hours, just getting shots up. And, you know, she's a really driven kid and was a late bloomer, but I expect her to really carve out a role there. And Joe, we all know how skilled she is. So it's just a matter of time before, you know, her skill set takes over and she's a really key member of that Marion team.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see how they do over the next few years. And I think women's basketball in general, particularly at the college level, I know you get some of the big names out there. Everyone's watching Caitlin Clark and what she's doing at Iowa, and there's some fantastic pro players as well. The game continues to grow, and as a coach of girls basketball at the high school level, is it pretty cool for you to see the girls' game continue to grow? And there's some awesome people to look up to for the young ladies that are thinking about playing basketball as well. So,
yeah,
I think, want to touch on that.
Yeah, I think it's important for the female athletic side of things to have role models in that sport that they're playing in. And I know just some of our middle school kids, they were in here the other day playing, and some of them were talking about one of the women's games that was on TV that they were watching. And you know, that would not have happened 5-6 years ago. So for them to have that opportunity, and obviously it helps our program because it gains interest in basketball, and that kind of trickles down to our middle school and younger groups. I mean, right now we've got our future Trojans League stuff going on, and heck, my varsity kids are even coaching half the teams in it, and we've got 170 kids. So,
wow.
You know, we're obviously in a little bit of a rebuild just because we lost so much, but we've certainly got a lot of kids coming up the ranks.
And speaking of your team this season, we can kind of dig into that now. We got some of that other stuff out of the way. 2-2 so far, opened with the wins over South Dearborn and Richmond. Dropped the last two games, overtime loss to Franklin County and Columbus East. 2-2 so far. So what's the impressions of your team through four games?
Well, just like we talked about, after graduating 8 kids and really only returning 1 kid with varsity minutes, it's hard to replicate varsity experience in the summer. I mean, we do our best, and but it's a whole different ball game, especially kids that are freshmen coming from 8th graders making that jump to play varsity minutes, which we have 3 doing, and then just kids that, you know, they're JV members last year. But it's a big jump in the physicality, the speed, the execution. That's really the big difference for those kids. And I knew athletic as we are, I knew we would be a really good defensive team, and we would have to be competitive. And we've done that. I mean, I think we're holding teams to 31 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's phenomenal. The problem is we're not scoring it very well, and that's something that is probably going to plague us until our kids get more and more comfortable out there. But I think you know me well enough to know that I certainly am a very competitive person. So losing is not something that I'm overly great at. But we're process driven, I guess, is the best way of saying it. This year we're all about improvement and getting these kids the reps, the time, the experience, and I think the results will come. I'd rather judge this group in January heading into postseason. I think we have a high ceiling. It's just a matter of, as a coaching staff, how we can get them there.
Sure, and I think that might, you know, internally be a fun aspect of this season for you and your coaching staff is going through that journey and seeing what the end result's going to be come playoff time. But you mentioned the defense, and that's something that has certainly stuck out from me just looking at the box scores. You're actually tied for 35th in the state in points allowed per game. You're right on the money at 31 points. Seems like you get great buy-in from your players each and every year, particularly on that side of the ball. And I know you like to, you know, talk some defense. So, it seems like you're just getting that buy-in and things are clicking on that side.
Yeah, and you know, they're competitive kids. Like, you know, the majority of our varsity kids are multi-sport athletes. So, you know, they're athletic, they're competitive natured kids, and they're smart. So they apply what we're asking them to do, you know, from a defensive game planning standpoint, where, you know, in one game we're playing man-to-man, switching all actions, and in the next game we're playing a 2-3 zone and shading to one person's side. So for them to buy into that and to understand what we're looking for, when most of them have never played varsity experience basketball, that's what is encouraging to us as a staff, that, you know, eventually that will start to click on the offensive end as well. It just, like, we're getting really quality shots, and, you know, we chart everything. And right now we're shooting 34% at the rim, which is insanely low for any school, for any team, any level. So we're getting the looks. We're getting quality looks. We're just not capitalizing. I mean, in the East game, we missed 18 shots from within 3 feet. You know, we should have won that game by double figures, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, so comes with time, and when the confidence starts growing, you might see that that stuff start to click on the offensive side. I have no doubt that you get them right there in that aspect. But naturally, throughout the season, you see leaders emerge, whether it's a go-to scorer or a vocal leader. I know you're still early in the season, but you are looking for those type of players. Who are some of the names that might step into some of those roles if they haven't already?
Well, it starts probably with our guards, Anna Black. She's a junior, really the only returning kid that played significant varsity minutes. And she's an all-conference soccer player, an all-conference softball player, probably going to be an all-conference basketball player, and just a natural leader by example. What I'm proud of her more so than anything is the fact she's using her voice a lot more. And, you know, when you've been in athletics and part of teams, when your natural leaders are just based on their work ethic and then they start to talk, you know, more kids start to listen and start to emulate that. That's something I'm very proud of her about. And then probably the most naturally gifted kid we have is Nevaeh Tudor. She's a sophomore, ultra quick, can shoot it pretty well, just has it stuck in fifth gear a little bit too much, if you know what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. The moment she starts to figure out how to change gears and change speeds, she's going to be really, really hard to guard. And then she's a menace defensively. So everything kind of dictates with those two guards. And then after that, Meredith Sizemore, somebody that we're going to need to score it for us. Shoots it pretty well, about a 6-foot perimeter kid. And then after that, it's a lot of young kids and a lot of experience that we're trying to plug and pull and figure out what the right rotation is. And I think over the course of time, you know, we're going to find that rotation and be happy with it.
Sure, and we're catching you in this interview at a time where you're about to hit a fairly challenging part of your schedule. I mean, we talked about this prior, where you're always going to play good teams. That's what good teams do. And but you got the Greensburg game looming. That's a top 50 matchup. Columbus North, always tough. Madison in between those two games, which has got a pretty nice team. What are you kind of hoping to see from your team over these next few games as you kind of get through the holiday season?
Yeah, just staying consistent defensively. I think we can do that. We can control that. I'd love to rebound the ball a little bit better. We've lost the rebounding battle in 3 of the 4 games. I mean, just finding some consistency with what we're trying to accomplish at the offensive end. And, you know, like you said, our schedule is, there's not really any nights off. And, you know, as the AD, I probably could have done a better job of providing some games that maybe fit our personnel a little bit better. But that's just the competitor in me, and knowing that, you know, we want to play a tough schedule, and that's to me, that's the way you get better, is playing good competition. So,
sure.
Like you said, we don't really have any, you know, games where we can say, yeah, we should win this game. You know, they're all coin flip games, or we're the underdog, and I kind of like that. You know, we've kind of been the target for the last 7-8 years, and now we're kind of the hunter again, and it kind of fits my personality a little, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's cool. And, you know, again, it's a different perspective for you this year, having that mindset. But, again, that can be kind of the fun thing. You certainly want to, you know, win 19, 20 games every year. But a little bit more, just a little different, maybe a little bit more challenging from the coaching perspective this year.
It is, and it's rewarding, too. You know, there's so much teaching involved in it this year. I've had tremendous amounts of fun. And, you know, when you've coached the same group 3-4 years like we did the last few years, it's your voice maybe goes not mute, but, you know, they've gotten used to hearing your voice so much, so maybe doesn't always register with them. But now with young kids, and we're teaching them you know, every drill every day. You know, it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of energy in the room, and you know that's to me that's what coaching is all about. Obviously, we want to win, but teaching is really my passion.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I appreciate you calling in, filling us in a little bit more on what's going on with Lady Trojans basketball. Of course, we're hoping to come see you guys play at some point. We'll get our basketball coverage started next week following the state championship game on Saturday, where we wish, obviously, the Trojans all the best of luck.
Appreciate that, man. And we're probably going to get some ticket information kicked out on our Facebook page and our Twitter, X, whatever they call it these days, but mm-hmm. We'll get all that stuff posted out there tomorrow, and hope to have a lot of Southeastern Indiana up there rooting on the Trojans.
Absolutely. Did you have anything to do with the coin toss? Trojans wearing white on Saturday.
Yeah, the players were not very happy with Coach Miners. He certainly made the wrong call. I had nothing to do with that. I want that to be out on air.
Well, that was
all his call.
I can tell you this. I've had some of the boys in, Cole, Josh, Braden, Dylan. They all talked about how they love the black uniforms, and that's what they want to go with, like, all the time. So, yeah, I kind of figured I'd have to throw that out there to see how the feeling was.
He definitely got some grease today from the boys.
Well, it doesn't matter what uniform they're wearing as long as they're hoisting the trophy at the end of the day.
That's right. Just smile for the camera.
Exactly. So, Coach Moore with the East Central Lady Trojans. Of course, the AD there as well. We appreciate you taking the time to call in this evening. We'll catch up with you real soon.
All right, Travis. Take care, man. Thanks.
All right, you take care as well. We're going to take a break here on Crunch Time. More to come. Eagle Country 99.3.
It's time for a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Doc, let's start off by hearing a little bit about OrthoCincy and what services you provide to the community.
Yes, so I do a little bit of everything. It ranges from hand stuff. I'll do procedures in the office like trigger fingers, carpal tunnels. And then, of course, you've got more of the kind of the outpatient things, you know, that chronic shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, you know, things like arthritis. Those are more appropriately kind of worked up on an outpatient basis. See you in the office, get some x-rays, and then kind of talk about, you know, your treatment options and whether that's, you know, non-surgical or surgical options. You know, orthopedics care is absolutely both non-surgical and surgical things.
And how about helping injured student athletes in the area?
The biggest question when you come in is, hey, is this something that you can play through or not? And so a lot of times, again, that starts with an x-ray, starts with an exam. And even if we have to get next step, something like an MRI, and usually have a little bit quicker trigger just because, again, there's, you know, you don't have time to see if this gets better or not in 3 weeks. You want to know, can I play this weekend or not? And mm-hmm. So if we do need something like an MRI, try to do a really good job of holding kind of urgent MRI spots for our athletes and try to get them in as soon as possible. That way we get that information. And again, it's, you know, it's a matter of are you hurt or are you injured? And if it's, you know, if it hurts, but everything structurally checks out okay, then tape it and, you know, do some exercises, but have at it.
That's a word with Dr. Brian Whistle from OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. More Crunch Time now.
Welcome back to Crunch Time, of course, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Don't forget, you can go online to OrthoCincy.com to learn about all their services, all the great doctors that they have there, schedule an appointment, so forth and so on. OrthoCincy.com, OrthoCincy.com. I'm your host, Double T Travis there. Again, a big thanks to Kevin Moore, the head coach of the East Central Lady Trojans basketball team and the athletic director at East Central High School for calling in on the show this evening. He's very busy today with his AD duties and, of course, as a coach. So wasn't able to make it into the studio, which is quite all right because we still got him on the air. So that's a big part of that. But we want to talk about this big state championship game that is coming up on Saturday, the IHSAA Class 4A Football State Championship at Lucas Oil Stadium. We will have a 2:40 pregame coverage, 3 o'clock kickoff from the tin can there in Circle City. And as we mentioned, the Trojans will be in their white uniforms. That was determined by a coin toss earlier today. Coaches, ADs meeting up in Indianapolis to get things set for Friday and Saturday with the 6 state championship games being played. It will be the even numbers on Saturday. So if you're going up for the East Central game and you want to catch some other games, the 2A and 6A games will be happening that day. Might stick around for that 6A game to check out Ben Davis. And I'm just thinking about like fantasy booking, fantasy matchups. East Central and Ben Davis for the overall state championship, perhaps. Wouldn't that be a fun game to see how those two teams stack up against one another? They are the top two teams in the Sagarin, of course, that are still standing at this point of the season. But as mentioned, East Central seeking back-to-back state titles for the first time in program history, and it would be their fourth overall if they can get the win over Northwood this Saturday. Northwood has one state title. They won that at the 3A level back in 2005. And if you want to go back to last week, East Central, they stomped New Pal 49-0. As I kind of mentioned at the top of the show with Coach Moore, I've been asking who can challenge East Central this season. The answer has been nobody to this point. You looked at kind of the statistics, the Sagar and all that stuff last week. You're thinking, okay, maybe on paper, New Pal's going to be the team that can at least give East Central a competitive game. And, well, that was not the case, and it was pretty evident early on in the first quarter that East Central was going to win that game by a lot. New Pal struggled to get first downs all night long, couldn't convert on third down hardly at all. And East Central, as you know and love them, power football on the offensive side of the ball. Dylan Maxwell rushing for a career-high 251 yards and two touchdowns. Josh Ringer had a pedestrian day, really, by his standards, 117 yards on 20 carries, two touchdowns. It's still a good game, but, he's capable of much more, as New Pal was obviously keying in on him in that game. And Ryan Mingus, the freshman, who looks like he's going to be the next big star running back for East Central, carries the ball eight times, 99 yards, and two touchdowns. So EC spread the ball out, three different runners, that keeps them all pretty fresh, I would think, throughout the game. And it just goes to show you, Josh Ringer, we know what he's accomplished, not only this season, but throughout his career. From my standpoint, he should be the runaway winner of Mr. Football this season with his, 56 touchdowns now, over 2,000 yards rushing. He's having an absolutely incredible year and a chance to cap it off with a state championship on Saturday. But my point being is Josh Ringer, as good as he is, when he has a game where he only has 117 yards on 20 carries, you have a Dylan Maxwell there that runs for 251. So now defenses, one defense in particular, Northwood, has to say, oh boy, well, if we look to shut down Josh Ringer, they got two other guys that they can throw at us in Maxwell and Mingus, and, you know, they're very good players as well. So I said it a couple weeks ago, broadcasting the regional game with Chuck Thomas down at Evansville Memorial. This team virtually has no weaknesses, offense, defense, special teams. They're just good from head to toe. Coaching staff's great as well. So it's the headache of the opposing team each week to try and find some sort of weakness that they can exploit against this East Central team, but nobody's been able to do it. Obviously, they want to run the ball. Opposing defense is going to say, let's try to take that away. But no one's been able to do it. Offensive line has been absolutely awesome up front. And again, when you get that split backfield like East Central's kind of gone to exclusively here as of late, Maxwell or Ringer can get the ball, and whoever's not getting the ball is kind of leading the way as a blocker for the other guy. They're very unselfish in that way, and they're all very, very talented and are able to make guys miss. They can break tackles. They got home run hitting speed. It's just a complete package. I mean, East Central threw the ball one time on Friday against New Pal. It was an incompletion. All of their yards coming on the ground, 479. How do you win when a team runs for 479 yards? You don't, as the opponent. And again, beyond that, East Central's defense, absolutely phenomenal. They have been all year long. They held New Pal to 161 yards of total offense. That is an offense for the Dragons that has a Mr. Football candidate at running back as well, and they pretty much just took him completely out of the game. Looking at the yards per play, it was 10.2 yards per play for East Central, 3.4 for New Pal. Mentioned those third downs. New Pal was 3 of 12. East Central, they only had three third down plays, and they went 2 of 3 on those conversions. So total domination of that New Pal team, which is just, I just sat back and I'm like, wow, this team is just unbelievable. And I think they got a chance to do something on Saturday that not many other teams have done in state history. Be this dominant all season long. We'll see how it all shakes out on Saturday if they're able to blow out this Northwood team. I know that Coach Miners and his players, they won't care if they blow them out by 49 or 50 points. As long as they win by one and they get the trophy, that's all that really matters. But from the media perspective and a game storyline perspective and kind of a historical perspective, if East Central goes up to Indianapolis and blows out this Northwood team, it's got to be one of the most dominant runs to a state championship in Indiana football state history, at least in my lifetime. So we may come back to that on Saturday during the broadcast. But let's take a look at this Northwood team while we got a few more minutes to wrap up the show. They took down Leo in a barn burner 45-33 on Friday. Northwood can score some points. That's not a problem for them. Defensively, they're giving up about 20 per game, which I don't think bodes well for them against an East Central team that is the highest scoring offense in the state of Indiana. But Northwood quarterback Owen Roeder, he's a good player here, had a big game with 183 rushing yards, 153 passing yards, four total touchdowns in that win over the Leo Lions. And Northwood was a little susceptible to the passing attack in that game. I guess I shouldn't have said little. They gave up 335 yards through the air, but they're going to face a much different offense this week as East Central is going to line up and run the ball at them. But they held Leo to 4.5 yards per carry and 127 rushing yards. Like I said, going to be a little bit bigger challenge for this Northwood team coming up on Saturday. If you look at their roster, there's going to be two names that really jump out to you because they got a couple of four-star recruits that are two of the best players in the state of Indiana, and they are going to play some high Division I football at the college level. Nitro Tuggle, their four-star wide receiver, is committed to Georgia, number one team in the nation and back-to-back national champions. And Josiah Edmond, a four-star corner, who I do believe is going to play on the offensive side of ball as well. He is committed to the University of Michigan. No comment further on that particular program. I'm an Ohio State fan, if you didn't know. But anyways, those two guys, obviously, are very, very talented players. They're the number two and number three ranked players in the state of Indiana, according to 247 Sports. So, again, very, very good. But can those two guys alone, playing the positions they play and wide receiver and cornerback, be enough to beat this East Central team that looks to be the most complete team perhaps in the state, regardless of class? I don't know. We'll find out on Saturday, but it's going to take a complete team effort for anybody to defeat this Trojans team, and that is just based off what we've seen through the first 14 games of this season. But if you are heading up to the game, maybe you're going to listen to our coverage. Tuggle and Edmond, we're going to say their names, I would think, a handful of times, and they're players to watch just because of how talented they are. And again, East Central's got a couple D1 guys there as well. We've talked about Ringer and Brotherton. They're both going to play in the MAC moving forward, Miami and Western Michigan. So that's very awesome as well. Not as highly ranked him as those two players in the state of Indiana, but still in the top 25, top 35 for both of those players, Ringer and Brotherton. So again, plenty of star power going to be on the field, but from a team perspective, I feel like I'm kind of hitting the nail over the head too many times here. East Central, they've just blown me away this year with how good they have been and how consistent they have been and just steamrolling every team that they have played. And looking at some of their big wins, Lawrenceburg, that was a top 50 win week one of the season. They were 46th overall in the Sagarin. Ron Colley, that was a top 60 win. That was kind of a big moment in the season, too, where you're like, oh, wow, they even though they maybe weren't as good this year as they were last year, it was still a huge win. Martinsville, top 65 win. They rolled Evansville Memorial. That was a top 60 win. And then the New Pal game last week, that was the number two team in 4A and the number 13 team in the state. And they blank them 49-0. So now they'll get the number four team. This is in terms of the Sagarin in 4A and the 21st best team in the state in Northwood on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Will the Trojans continue to be dominant and win it in convincing fashion? That is the story that we are having going into Saturday's game. Or will Northwood be the first team, with the exception of maybe Moeller? Again, I don't think that final score was indicative of the way that game was played. Will Northwood be the first team or the second team this year to give East Central a run for their money? That's what we're looking for on Saturday. But we will bring you coverage from Lucas Oil Stadium, 2:40 pregame coverage, 3 o'clock kickoff. Our State Championship broadcast is presented by Ivy Tech Community College. You can learn more about them at ivytech.edu, and it will be myself and Bill Smith on the call from downtown Indianapolis on Saturday. We are looking forward to it, and go Trojans. Good luck to you guys. Looking for back-to-back state championships and the fourth in program history. We'll be there to see how it all unfolds. We hope you will tune into our coverage if you can't make it up to Indianapolis on Saturday. Again, a big thanks to Coach Kevin Moore and Athletic Director Kevin Moore for joining the show this evening. And thank you to the listener for tuning in. This is Crunch Time on Eagle Country 99.3.